Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Speaking as a public opinion poll, I've had enough of the permissive society.
I haven't had enough of the permissive society.
I would not appear in a frontal nude scene unless it was valid.
In 1943, a group of British Army officers working deep behind enemy lines carried out one of the most dangerous and heroic raids in the history of warfare. But that's as may be. And now...
Go in. What do you want?
I'd like to leave the army, please, sir.
Good heavens, man, why?
It's dangerous.
What?
There are people with guns out there, sir.
What?
Real guns, sir, not proper ones, sir, not toy ones, sir, proper ones, sir. They've all got them. All of them, sir. And some of them have got tanks.
Watkins, they are on our side.
And grenades, sir, and machine guns, sir. So I'd like to leave, sir, before I get killed, please.
Hawkins, you've only been in the army a day.
I know, sir, but people get killed. Properly dead, sir. No Barney cross fingers, sir. The boat was telling me, if you're in the army and there's a war, you have to go and fight.
That's true.
Well, I mean, blimey, I mean, if it was a big war, somebody could be hurt.
Watkins, why did you join the army?
For the water skiing and for the travel, sir. Not for the killing, sir. I asked him to put it on my form, sir. No killing.
Watkins, are you a pacifist?
No, sir, I'm not a pacifist, sir. I'm a coward.
That's a very silly line. Sit down.
Yes, sir, silly.
Awfully bad.
Two civilian gentlemen to see you, sir.
Show them in, please, Sergeant.
Mr. Dino Facotti and Mr. Luigi Facotti.
Morning, Colonel.
Morning, gentlemen. Now, what can I do for you?
You've got a nice army base there, Colonel.
Yes.
We wouldn't want anything to happen to it.
What?
No, what my brother means is it would be a shame if that...
Oh.
Oh, sorry, Colonel.
Well, don't worry about that, but please do sit down.
No, we prefer to stand, thank you, Colonel.
All right, all right. But what do you want?
What do we want? Very good, Colonel.
Colonel's a joker, Luigi.
Explain it to the Colonel, Dino.
How many tanks you got, Colonel?
About 500 altogether.
500, eh?
You ought to be careful, Colonel.
We are careful. Extremely careful.
Because things break, don't they?
Break?
Well, everything breaks, don't it, Colonel? Oh, there.
Oh, I see my brother's clumsy, Colonel. When he gets unhappy, breaks things. Like, say, he don't feel the army's playing fair by him. He may start breaking things, Colonel.
Look, what is all this about?
How many men you got here, Colonel?
Oh, 7,000 infantry, 600 artillery, and two divisions of paratroops.
Paratroops, Dino?
Oh, best shame if someone was to set fire to them.
Yeah. Set fire to them?
Fires happen, Colonel.
Things burn.
Look, what is all this about?
My brother and I got a little proposition for you, Colonel.
God save you, a lot of bother.
I mean, you're doing all right here, aren't you, Colonel?
But suppose some of your tanks was to get broken, your troops started getting lost, fights started breaking out during general inspection, like.
That wouldn't be good for business, would it, Colonel?
Are you threatening me?
No.
Whatever made you think that, Colonel?
The Colonel doesn't think we're nice people, Louis.
We're your buddies, Colonel.
We want to look after you.
Look after me?
We can guarantee you that not a single armoured division will get done over for 15 bob a week.
No, this is silly.
What's silly?
No, the whole premise is silly, and it's very badly written. I'm the senior officer here, and I haven't had a funny line yet, so I'm stopping you.
You can't.
I've done it. The sketch is over.
I want to leave the army, please, sir. It's dangerous.
Look, I stopped your sketch 5 minutes ago, so get out of shot. Right, director, close up, zoom in on me. That's better.
It's only because you couldn't think of a punchline.
Not true, not true. It's time for the cartoon. Cue telecine. 10, 9, 8...
Our general public's not going to understand this, are they?
Shut up, you eye ties.
For the show you've heard so much about. This is the show that gives you what you want the way you like it. So move right up front for full frontal nudity. Problems, a few disappointments.
Shut up, you pansy. I paid you for this nudity and I'm gonna get
some. Tough luck, sailor.
Full frontal nudity? Never. What do you think, Barbara?
Oh, no. This is perfectly valid, of course.
Full frontal nudity? Yes, I'd do it if it was valid. If the money was valid. And if it were a small part.
Good evening. I'd like to talk to you tonight about the place of the nude in my bed. In the history of my bed. Of art. Art. I'm sorry. The place of the nude in the history of tart. Call girl. I'm sorry. I'll start again. Bum. Oh, what a giveaway. Place of the nude in art. Hello there, Father. Confessor. Professor. Your Honour. Your Grace.
I'm not your Grace. I'm your Elsie.
What a terrible joke!
But it's my only line!
But there, let us leave the art critic to strangle his wife and move on to Pastures New.
We want to buy a bed, please.
Oh, certainly. I'll get someone to attend to you. Mr. Verriter.
Can I help you, sir?
Ah, yes, we'd like to buy a bed. A double bed, about £50.
Oh, no, I'm afraid not, sir. Our cheapest bed is £800, sir.
£800?
Oh, perhaps I should have explained. Mr. Verity does tend to exaggerate, so every figure he gives you will be 10 times too high. Otherwise, he's perfectly all right.
Perfectly. Right, I see. I see, so your cheapest bed is £80.
£800, yes, sir.
And how wide is it?
The width is 60 feet wide.
6 foot wide, eh? And the length?
The length is, Lambert?
Hmm?
What is the length of the comfy down, Majorette?
2 foot long.
2 foot long?
Yes, you have to remember, of course, to multiply everything Mr. Lambert says by 3. It's nothing he can help you understand. Apart from that, he's perfectly all right.
I'm sorry.
But it does mean that when he says a bed is 2 foot wide, it is, in fact, 60 feet wide.
Yes, I see.
And that's not counting the mattress.
Oh, how much is that?
Lambert will be able to help you there. Lambert, will you show these 20 good people the dog kennel, please?
Certainly.
Dog kennel? No, mattresses. Mattress.
Oh, no, you have to say dog kennel to Mr. Lambert, because if you say mattress, he puts a bag over his head. I should have explained. Apart from that, he's really all right.
We'd like to see the dog kennels, please.
Dog kennels?
Yes, we want to see the dog kennels.
Oh, yes, well, that's the pets department, second floor.
No. We want to see the dog kennels.
Yes, pets department, second floor.
No, we don't really want to see dog kennels, only your colleague said we ought to...
Oh, dear, what's he been telling you now?
Well, he said we should say dog kennel to you instead of mattress.
Did you say mattress?
Oh, a little, yes.
I did ask you not to say mattress, didn't I? Now I've got to stand in the tea chest. And did those feet in ancient times walk upon England's mountains green? And was the Holy Lamb of God on England's pleasant... He should be all right now, but don't, you know, just don't.
Oh, no. Here, we'd like to see the dog kennels, please.
Yes, second floor.
No. Look, these dog kennels here, see?
Mattresses?
Oh, yes.
Well, if you meant mattress, why didn't you say mattress? I mean, it's very confusing for me if you go and say dog kennels when you mean mattress. Why not just say mattress?
I mean, you put a bag over your head last time we said mattress.
Bring me my bow of burning gold. Bring me my arrows of desire. Bring me my spear.
Mattress
for
Mr. Lambert.
Twice.
Hey, everybody, somebody say mattress for Mr. Lambert. Twice.
On the fire, I shall not cease from mental strife, nor shall my soul.
Can I help you?
We want a mattress.
Oh, yes. What are you saying?
What is that for?
But it's my only life.
What did you have to say?
Full frontal nudity. Not in this part of Isha.
I would only perform a scene in which there was total frontal nudity.
Now, I noticed a tendency for this program to get rather silly. Now, I do my best to keep things moving along, but I'm not having things getting silly. Those last two sketches I did got very silly indeed, and that last one about the beds was even sillier. Now, nobody likes a good laugh more than I do, except perhaps my wife and some of her friends. Oh, yes, and Captain Johnson. Come to think of it, most people like a good laugh more than I do, but that's beside the point. Now, let's have a good, clean, healthy outdoor sketch. Get some air into your lungs. 10, 9, 8 and all that.
Ah, yes, that's better. Now, let's hope this doesn't get silly.
Hello. Are you Hurley by any chance?
Yes, that's right.
Are you Herbie?
Yes, I certainly am.
Well, I never. What are you getting away from?
Oh, you know, the usual people chat gossip.
Oh, I certainly do. It was the same with me. I mean, there comes a time when you realise there's no good frittering your life away in idleness and trivial chit-chat. Where's your cave?
Oh, up the goat track, first on the left.
Oh, they're very nice up there, aren't they?
Yes, well, they've got the view, you see.
A bit drafty, though, are they?
No, we've had ours insulated.
Oh, yes?
Yes, I use bird's nest, moss and oak leaves around the outside.
Oh, sounds marvellous.
Oh, it's a treat, it really is, because otherwise those stone caves could be so grim.
Yes, they really can be, can't they? They really can. Yes.
Morning, Frank.
Morning, Norman. Talking of moss, you know Mr. Robinson?
With the green loincloth?
No, that's Mr. Seagrave. Mr. Robinson's the hermit who lodges with Mr. Seagrave.
Oh, that's it, yeah.
Yes, well, he's put me onto wattles.
Really?
Yes. Swears by them.
Morning, Frank.
Morning, Lionel. Well, he says that moss tends to fall off the cave wall during cold weather. You know, you might get a really bad spell and off the moss drops off the cave wall, leaving you cold.
Oh, well, Mr. Robinson's cave's never been exactly near Varna, has it?
Well, quite, that's what I mean. Anyway, Mr. Rogers, he's the hermit.
On the end.
Up at the top, yes. Yeah. Well, he tried wattles and he came out in a rash.
Really?
Yes, and there's me with half a wall wattled. I mean, what'll I do?
Well, why don't you try bird's nest like I've done? Or else, dead bracken.
Frank!
Yes, Hen?
Can I borrow your goat?
Yes, that'll be all right. Oh, leave me a pipe for breakfast, will you? See, it, you know, that's the trouble with living halfway up a cliff. You feel so cut off. You know, it takes me 2 hours every morning to get out onto the moors, collect my berries, chastise myself, and 2 hours back in the evening.
Still, there's one thing about being a hermit. At least you meet people.
Oh, yes, I wouldn't go back to public relations. Oh, well, bye for now, Frank. Must trouble.
Right, you two hermits, stop that sketch. I think it's silly.
What?
It's silly.
He can't stop it. He's on film.
That doesn't make any difference to the viewer at home, does it? Come on, get out. Out with you. Come on, out. All of you. Get up. Go on, all of you. Get up. Go on, move. Move, Grandchild. Get out.
I'm taking
an interview. I don't know anything about the bloody press. I only knew something about the thing. Go on, get out. Get up. Get up. Move. Move. Move.
I wish to register a complaint. Hello, miss?
What do you mean, miss?
Oh, I'm sorry, I have a cold. I wish to make a complaint.
Sorry, we're closing for lunch.
Never mind that, my lad. I wish to complain about this parrot what I purchased not half an hour ago from this very boutique.
Oh, yes, the Norwegian Blue. What's wrong with it?
I'll tell you what's wrong with it. It's dead. That's what's wrong with it.
No, it's resting. Look.
Look, my lad, I know a dead parrot when I see one, and I'm looking at one right now.
No, it's not dead, it's resting.
Resting?
Yeah. Remarkable bird, the Norwegian Blue. Beautiful plumage, isn't it?
The plumage don't enter into it. It's stone dead.
No, it's resting.
All right, then. If it's resting, I'll wake it up. Hello, Polly. I got a nice cuttlefish for you when you wake up, Polly Parrot.
There, it moved.
No, it didn't. That was you pushing the gate.
I did not.
Yes, you did. Hello, Polly. Polly. Polly Parrot, wake up. Polly. Now, that's what I call a dead parrot.
No, it's stunned.
Look, my lad, I've had just about enough of this. That parrot is definitely deceased. And when I bought it not half an hour ago, you assured me that its lack of movement was due to it being tired and shagged out after a long squawk.
It's got me pining for the fjords.
Pining for the fjords? What kind of talk is that? Look, where did it fall flat on its back the moment I got it home?
The Norwegian Blue prefers kipping on its back. It's a beautiful bird, lovely plumage.
Look, I took the liberty of examining that parrot. And I discovered that the only reason that it had been sitting on its perch in the first place was that it had been nailed there.
Well, of course it was nailed there, otherwise it muscled up to those bars and boom!
Look, matey. This parrot wouldn't boom if I put 4,000 volts through it. It's bleeding demise.
It's not. It's pining.
It's not pining. It's passed on. This parrot is no more. It has ceased to be. It's expired and gone to meet its maker. This is a late parrot. It's a stiff. Bereft of life, it rests in peace. If you hadn't nailed it to the perch, it would be pushing up the daisies. It's run down the curtain and joined the choir invisible. This is an ex-parrot.
Well, I'd better replace it then.
If you want to get anything done in this country, you've got to complain to your blue in the mouth.
Sorry, Gov, we're right out of parrots.
I see. I get the picture.
I've got a slug.
Does it talk?
Not really, no.
Well, it's scarcely a replacement then, is it?
Listen, I'll tell you what. If you go to my brother's pet shop in Bolton, he'll replace your parrot for you.
Bolton, eh?
Yeah.
All right.
Excuse me. This is Bolton, is it?
No, it's Ipswich.
That's Intercity Rail for you.
I wish to make complete.
I don't have to do this, you know.
A bigger pardon?
I'm a qualified brain surgeon. I only do this because I like being my own boss.
Excuse me, this is irrelevant, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's not easy to pad these out to 30 minutes.
Well, I wish to make it complete. I got on the Bolton train and found myself deposited here in Ipswich.
No, this is Bolton.
The pet shop owner's brother was Lion.
Well, you can't blame British Rail for that.
If this is Bolton, I shall return to the pet shop. That this is Bolton.
Yeah?
But you told me it was Ipswich.
It was a pun.
A pun?
No, not a pun. No, what's the other thing which reads the same backwards as forwards?
A palindrome?
Yeah.
It's not a palindrome. The palindrome of Bolton would be not lob. Get hurt.
Look, what do you want?
No, I'm sorry. I'm not prepared to pursue my line of inquiry any further, as I think this is getting too silly.
Quite agree. Silly. Right. Get on with it.
Oh. I'm sorry. Now, a frontal nudity. I'm sorry, I thought the film was longer. Now, Notlob. A Bolton!
This is a frightened city. Over these houses, over these streets, hangs a pall of fear. Fear of a new kind of violence, which is terrorizing the city. Yes, gangs of old ladies attacking defenseless, fit young men.
Well, they come up to you, like, and push you, you know, shove you off the pavement, like. There's usually four or five of them.
Yeah, this used to be a nice neighbourhood before the old ladies started moving in.
Nowadays, some of us don't even go out to the shops. Well, Mr. Johnson's son, Kevin, he don't go out anymore. He comes back from resting and locks himself in his room.
What are they in it for, these old hoodlums, these layabouts in lace?
Well, it's something to do, isn't it? It's good fun.
It's like, well, in it, right?
Favourite targets for the old ladies are telephone kiosks.
Well, come on. Off with you. Get out. Go on, get out of it. We have a lot of trouble with these oldies. Pension days are worse. They go mad. As soon as they get their hands on their money, they blow it all on milk, bread, tea, tin of meat for the cat.
Get to work also. Come the 2 o'clock matinee, poor little bits out in there. Especially if it's something like the sound of music. We get to... seats ripped up, hearing aids broken, all that sort of thing.
The whole problem of these senile delinquents lies in their complete rejection of the values of contemporary society. They've seen their children grow up and become accountants, stockbrokers, and even sociologists. And they begin to wonder, is it all really...
Oh, well, we sometimes feel we're to blame in some way for what our gran's become. I mean, she used to be quite happy here until she started on the crochet.
Crochet?
Yeah. Now she can't do without it. 20 balls of wool a day sometimes. If she can't get the wool, she gets violent. What can we do about it?
Just an old lady's town. There are other equally dangerous gangs, such as the baby snatchers.
I just left my husband outside here while I went in to do some shopping, and I came back and he was gone. He was only 47.
And on the roads, too, vicious gangs of keep left signs.
Right, stop it. This film's got silly. Started off with a nice little idea about grannies attacking young men, but now it's got silly. That man's hair's too long for a bigger, too. His signs are pretty badly made. Right, now for a complete change of mood.
I've heard of unisex, but I've never had it.
David Hemmings appeared by permission of the National Forestry Commission.